This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck, if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoopstein with Walter Yerkew and Mike Raybrandt on 7-5 Radio. We are red hot and rolling. The 1st of June, 2024, in these once great United States of America. Walter, how are we doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Mike. Scoop. Thanks to both of you. I'm doing fine. I can't get my name straight.
Right. Well, you never could in the first place. Anyways, Mike, how are we doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to hear Walt's doing so great. It makes me really happy, man.
Outstanding. Anyways, our first order of business, as always, is to remember the men and women in law enforcement who were murdered in the line of duty. Unfortunately, tonight we have a bunch of names to read off. First, we want to remember police officer Joshua Breeze of the Gila River Tribal Police Department in Arizona, end of watch today, June 1st, 2024. His killer whereabouts is unknown. Also, police officer Jamal Mitchell of the Minneapolis, Minnesota Police Department, end of watch May the 30th, 2024. His killer is DOA. And finally, we want to remember police officer Jacob Durbin of the Euclid, Ohio Police Department, end of watch May 11th, 2024. His killer took his own life, thankfully. And what's really interesting is Officer Mitchell is with the Minneapolis Police Department. We all remember what happened in May of 2020. The whole world watched as George Floyd expired high on drugs. Meanwhile, you have Officer Mitchell, who has served honorably with the Minneapolis Police Department, who also happens to be black. Nothing. Anyways, our first and worst story of the history of 7-5 Radio is earlier this week, Donald Trump was found guilty on 34 felonies. We brought Mike on because he is the family member that was closest to law enforcement, retired recently, so we're going to turn it over to him about his take on 34 felonies. Take it away, Mike.
Thanks, Pete. So you got 34 misdemeanor charges, right? 175.10, it's a falsifying business records charge. And they bumped it up to a felony based upon some spurious possible violation of a federal law. I'm sorry, they threw out three federal law options that could be a violation of, and let the jury decide which one they liked. I mean, everything about this case is a hot mess. Pete, you know how it is, man. If me, you, Walt, brought a case like this to a DA's office anywhere, we'd be indicted, you know, that day for it. I mean, it was a complete hot mess. But so they indicted him on these charges. The charge they indicted him on is a misdemeanor. It's a Class A misdemeanor. And they're really just add-on charges. They're not like a standalone charge. So you would charge these kinds of crimes if you had somebody embezzling money and then, you know, doctoring the books to cover it up, things of that nature, tax evasion, and they cook the books, something along those lines. That's when these charges would actually be brought. There would be an add-on charge to a higher level charge. So, you know, grand larceny or fraud or something like that. What they did here was they made a franking case out of this thing, and they took these charges that were A, past statute of limitations, even if they were legitimate, which they weren't on the face of it alone. As misdemeanors alone, they wouldn't have been chargeable. Even at the time of occurrence, they were not a violation of any kind or shape, way, or form. It was just, there was no crime there. He didn't do anything he wasn't supposed to do. He put it down in his books as a legal expense, which, okay, they are a legal expense. It's in regards to an NDA. That's not illegal. They're done every single day. Just about every company in the world now uses NDAs to protect their own proprietary interests. So no big, you know, shockers there. Then they take these nonsense charges and they try and tie it to an FEC violation, where the FEC itself says this isn't a violation. It has nothing to do with his campaign. It's not at all like that. There's just no connect. There's no nexus to it at all legally for them to charge these things. It is the most ridiculous, spurious, politically motivated case possible. It is complete hot garbage. And to think that they actually pushed this thing through where they knew they were going to get it, the judge did everything possible to make sure that this thing went through. It's going to blow up in their faces. It really is. It's going to blow up in their faces very, very badly. I mean, his numbers have already gone up dramatically, his poll numbers for it. You saw billionaire Democrat donors that now switched sides and donated to Trump after this thing. I mean, he raised almost $60 million in 24 hours. That's got to tell you where the voting electorate is overall in the country. You know, so, I mean, it's the worst kind of lawfare possible. And I'll be honest with you, Pete, the most troubling thing about this is it's not about just getting Trump. You know, you have the Justice Department tonight, right now tonight, trying to shut down Alex Jones' show. Right? They're at his studio. They're trying to shut the studio down and shut him down. This is about clearing...
Mike, real quick, why would the feds try to shut down Alex Jones? What's he doing? Did he give...
It's about the censorship complex, right? I mean, Alex Jones, you know, is as crazy as he can get at times and as wrong as he can get at sometimes. He does nail a lot of things pretty damn well. And he's been a thorn in their side for a long time because he speaks about things they don't want spoken about. He speaks a lot of truth and he has a huge following. You know, not many people want to admit they follow Alex Jones and listen to what he says, but a lot of people do because he does get a lot right. I mean, he had the Sandy Hook debacle, which kind of hurt him a bit. But overall, he's actually been pretty right a lot of the time, you know, and he's kind of nailed it a lot of the time. So, you know, they don't like that. They don't like having their little plans exposed or being exposed for anything. You know, he got very, very big accounts on like social media platforms right now, conservative accounts and others, warning people to be careful who you're criticizing in the government right now. You know, you hit the Justice Department locking up J6ers and people who protested abortion clinics at the Cyclic, you know, 2,000 already this year, I think, right? Something like that. It is a war against anybody who stands in the way of their totalitarian power grab. You know, that's all this is. And Trump is just the most obvious, you know, example of it. He's the most, you know, public example, I should say, of it. So it's not going to end well. It's not going to end well. If people don't wake the hell up and start, you know, getting in the fight, it's not going to end well for anybody because it's not going to stop with him. They're going to keep going and clear the path to make sure that nobody and nothing speaks out against them or does anything to interfere with their ability to take over completely.
Wow.
34 misdemeanor counts that pass statute of limitations. Ridiculous.
Right. Mike, here's another question. How can an offense that occurred beyond the statute of limitation, how can it be brought back and be brought before a court?
Well, it's not supposed to be. And if you do bring it, I mean, they can waive it at times. You can do a hearing and have it brought back if it's warranted in the case. So if you're doing like a RICO-type case and you're saying, look, you know, this crime occurred outside of statute of limitations, but it ties into the overall big picture crime, and you have a higher level offense to tie it to, you can bring that back up again and say, you know, it was part of an ongoing conspiracy. That's the idea. You prove the ongoing conspiracy, and it kind of wipes out that statute of limitations because now you can go back and grab those charges and bring them in. Because it's part of a bigger part. It's a part of a bigger puzzle. But in this case, what they did was they didn't use a state charge. They took a state level charge, misdemeanor, that was past the statute of limitations. They brought it in. They indicted him on that, and they used three federal charges that state prosecutors really shouldn't be charging anyway. They have no authority to do so, and they used those as like a lever to kind of bring these things back in again and say, well, look. Because he did this, we feel like he violated one of these three laws. We're just not sure which one. You decide. That's basically what they told the jury. It is the most ridiculous thing you could possibly do. That's why I call it a franking case. It really is a franking case. It's completely, it is hot garbage. It is complete hot garbage. And the fact that anyone even brought this thing is disgraceful. But it tells you exactly how desperate they are to hold on to power. It tells you exactly how far they're willing to go to get what they want, which is complete control. You know, right. So, I mean, people should wait. If you're not awake now to what's going on, then there's no hope for you.
Wow. Well, what say you about all this before we go to our first break?
Well, you know, I'll go back to White Bread America that I've been using for 6 years now. White Bread America is unfamiliar with the way the court system works, the way the laws work. You know, they think everything is cut and dry, okay? And my questions are, first of all, there's no complainant. second, except, you know, the state, which, like Mike just said, that, you know, the state really doesn't have a right to pull these charges and bring them up. And where is the account for all this money corruption in the Trump enterprises? The accountants, then there's secretaries to the accountants, and then there's computer programmers that put the information into the computer. Where are all these people?
Right. Well, anyways, we're just getting warmed up. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Trump farce of a trial. Also, Joe Biden's tampering with the witnesses because his own family's facing charges. Anyways, we'll be right back. This is Cinefied Radio on Liberty News Radio Network.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew and Mike Rickbrandt going over the heart garbage that was the trial of the 45th President, Donald J. Trump. Walter, before we went to our first commercial break, you were talking about the victim. Who was the victim? The people that stayed in New York?
Don't know. There's no statute for the state of New York to be a victim on Donald Trump using his own money as he wishes. You know, it's his money. You know, take Stormy Daniels, for instance. He could say, all right, you know, give her $800,000, you know, and take it out of my personal account. He doesn't have to hide. He doesn't have to cook a book. You know, he doesn't sit up at night looking at the book, seeing where he could get money out of his own company or companies, because the man has enterprises all over the world. You know, it's his business is not a cash business. Everything is trackable. If you're going to arrest Donald Trump or convict Donald Trump on charges like this, they're going to have to look into every CEO that owns a multi-million billion-dollar business, including, you know, the former president, pull up your pants, Clinton. You know, the money that he paid out to Geraldine Flowers and that other chick, you know, and then the oral copulation he got caught with. I'm sure Monica got something out of that besides, you know, a dirty dress. The problem is that they, like Mike said, they're pinpointing this man. Pete and I discussed the other day, or whatever day it was, that you know, the Mr. Trump has been in business, you know, since the day he was born. I mean, he was a millionaire when he was born. He was collecting money on accounts that he never even knew he had because he was so young. And he was in business up until the point where he decided to run for, you know, office. And he stepped away. Now, where is all this coming from? I didn't follow the trial because I didn't think it was going to amount to anything. And it really didn't amount to anything. It amounted to a bunch of nonsense. Where, during his presidency, he didn't have access to any of his money because he put Donald Jr. and Eric in charge of the companies that he had. And Barron was too young. You know, you have Tiffany. She was too young. Ivanka, she had her hand in a lot of the businesses, but everything was straight on the up and up because for 50 years that he was in business before he ran for president, his record was spotless. You know, NBC gave him TV shows. You know, it's just ridiculous that they're doing to this man. I understand that there are people out there that just say, see, that there you go, there he is. I told you he was a crook without any proof. So just the way that they handled this case and the way Trump, you know, walked out the door with his head held high, you know, with the guilty verdict, you know, it's ridiculous. This is not going to be, you know, this is going to win it on appeals because a judge can't give. And I looked this up to see if I could find any kind of statute or any kind of law where it says the judge can say, well, if some of you find, you know, when you deliberate, if he's guilty of this charge and some of you don't, you can still find him guilty. It's not a civil trial. You know, these are actual misdemeanors, which are, you know, crimes in the penal law. But they bumped it up because they want this guy to do jail time. You know, I wouldn't mind having a president that's in jail. That means nobody's going to get to him. Nobody's going to be, bother him. You know, send a bomb over to Moscow and then that stupid war that this idiot is funding all the time. This what's his name? Creepy Joe.
Right.
I don't think that Trump is going to jail. I think that this is going to be all appealed and go through the appeals. And Mr. Trump will be president come November.
Right. Well, let's hope so. But, guys, I got a couple of questions for you all. The judge, didn't he, like, now for criminal cases, they have to be proved beyond a reasonable doubt. Is it right. True that judge said, well, if you just think he's done something wrong, vote guilty or not? Like, the judge did. Did he put orders that make sure it's you believe he committed this crime beyond a reasonable doubt? Or did he say, oh, if he just, you know, if you feel he's guilty, then vote guilty?
Yeah, he did, Pete. He gave him 50 pages of jury instructions, which is completely ridiculous, and he basically said exactly that. Sorry, Walt, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Michael, please.
And he gave him 50 pages of jury instructions. They were completely... I mean, they were absolutely outside of any legal norm or even what standards there are or even ethical standards. They were completely designed to basically tell the jury that no matter what, you're finding this guy guilty. That is basically the message he sent. You know, he told me he could break it up. Oh, four of you think he's guilty for this and four think he's for that and four think he's for this and we'll just find him guilty for everything. That's basically what he told them, which is, you know, the most insane thing I've ever heard. You know, it's
right.
12... you know, jury members of your peers that all have to get past a reasonable doubt and have a unanimous decision to find you guilty of a crime. That's our standard. That's always been our standard. Now, all of a sudden, because it's get Trump, it's, you know, well, if one of you thinks it's good, then that's enough for me. You know, that's absolutely insane. It does not work that way. Like I said, it's just more of the same that we've seen. You know, this, they're hell-bent on putting this man in prison or in their minds, hopefully dead, so they can get him out of the way, so they can continue on with their soft coup. You know, that's what this is. It started in 2020 with a soft coup, and this is just a projection of that. It's just them trying anything they can to block him and get him out of the way because they want to go back to business as usual. The establishment side of the Republican Party wants to go back to stealing, and the far left is interested only in communism by any means possible. So you're stuck between these two groups of psychopaths, basically. And this is the one man who's actually really most publicly blocking them, although quite a few people in his sphere have been indicted for various crimes across the country right now. Complete nonsense also, but still, it's ruining their lives. There's people going to jail for this stuff that, you know, it's just insane. The whole thing is complete lawfare. It's a perversion of our system. It really is.
Right.
And maybe this judge was promised a spot on the Supreme Court at some point in his life. But in 22 years, I think when Barron Trump is president, he's going to bury this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It's speaking of the judge was a donor to the Biden campaign. And the judge's daughter is a Democrat operative. Isn't that a textbook case of a conflict of interest?
Yeah.
I don't know about being a conflict. I mean, the guy's either a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent. You know, he has a right to have a political party. But he doesn't have a right to express it when he's performing his duties. You know, it's like, you know, cops. You know, we had to stand and protect people that we didn't stand or didn't like or didn't believe in, but we had to stand there and protect them from, you know, an unruly crowd or protesters and stuff like that. And, you know, our job wasn't always within what I thought was right or wrong. You still had to protect it. That's the way this judge was supposed to act. And he didn't. He didn't. Because, of like, you know, it was mentioned earlier that, you know, he gave the jury every opportunity to bury this guy under the jail and throw away the key. So, it's a conflict because of the way he practiced himself, I believe. Anyway, I don't know if either one of you guys have an opinion on something like that.
I think the violation comes from his daughter. She has she controls a bunch of NGOs both here and abroad, and as soon as this guy gets the case, which is also outside the norms, there's 26 judges that should have been assigned in the case. It's like a pool of them, and it should have been randomly assigned to somebody there. This guy's outside that pool and gets assigned the case directly, and immediately upon him being assigned the case, millions, tens of millions of dollars from all these different Democrat organizations and politicians start moving into her NGOs all across the world, here and abroad, you know, tens of millions of dollars throughout. To me, that's, you know, clear. Follow the money, you find a bad guy. And there you go. You know, to me, it's a pretty clear ethical violation on top of the fact that you have the, you know, procedural, you know, anomaly of him being assigned this case as well as other cases with, you know, Trump sphere people being charged for various crimes. You know, it's
And as far as this election goes in November, you know, if Mr. Trump is elected, this judge and his staff are going to be under scrutiny. If Biden is elected, they won't. If they do, it'll be a soft inquisition on it and come up with, you know, 25 pages of nonsense that you know, he acted within his authority, the scope of his duties, and all that crap. But you know, I want to just switch gears. Go to the Murdoch trial about that law clerk that spoke to the jury about the case. They did nothing when that happened. What is that, 6 months ago? But now she's up on charges. So I could see this happening, you know, at a later date in 6 months after the election is over. I could see something. But there's not going to be anything. Trump is going to appeal it, and we'll see how fast the appeal goes through. You know, he'll take it to the, you know, state Supreme Court. You know, they might kick it back. But if it goes to the Supreme Court, I mean, you know, he put the majority up there. What are they going to do? We already know what the Supreme Court is capable of.
Yep. Anyways, we go from one trial to another featuring the families of the presidents. When we get back, we'll talk about Hunter Biden and his trial. Stay tuned, everybody. We're just getting warmed up on 75 Radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Do USA News. I'm Corey Myers. The National Transportation Safety Board said although the gas line was not being used, it was still pressurized and was cut 6 minutes before a huge explosion rocked downtown Youngstown, Ohio.
Preliminary information suggests that work crews were present in the basement of the building for the purpose of clearing out old utility infrastructure. A possible third-party cut to the pressurized service line is a central focus of our investigation to determine the cause of the gas release and subsequent explosion.
NTSB board member Tom Chapman. One person was killed, seven others injured in that explosion. The investigation is expected to take about a week. Hunter Biden's first criminal trial set to start Monday on a federal gun case. Biden pled not guilty to federal gun charges in U.S. District Court for Delaware after being charged with making a false statement in the purchase of a firearm, making a false statement related to information required to be kept by a licensed firearm dealer, and one count of possession of a firearm by a person who was an unlawful user or addicted to a controlled substance. Robert Burke, a retired four-star Navy admiral, arrested yesterday for bribery involving a government contract. Yongchul, Charlie Kim, and Megan Messenger, co-CEOs of a company that's not been named by the DOJ, allegedly took part in the scheme to get a government contract in exchange for Burke getting a position with the company. They were also arrested. Burke, who served as vice chief of naval operations, was once the Navy's second highest ranking officer. This is USA News.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with managed IT services.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew and Mike Rakebrandt. We go from the hot garbage that was the Donald Trump trial to another first family in legal trouble. First dirtbag Hunter Biden is facing federal charges of lying on a federal background form for a gun permit. And the gun was improperly disposed by the widowed sister-in-law with benefits near a school. Haley Biden is the star witness for the prosecution. Last Sunday, President Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., Esquire, paid a visit to the home of Ms. Biden. For those educated in public schools, the title Esquire means an individual is a attorney. So President Biden visits his son's widowed sister-in-law with benefits when his son is facing federal charges. Guys, is this a case of witness tampering?
I don't know, it depends 100%, on what
you're talking about. Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
There's no such thing as coincidence, right? With cops, we know that. There's no such thing as coincidence. That's definitely a good solid case for it. But you don't have to give you hard to establish it.
I agree.
Right. Right. And anyways, real quick, here's the code under the Chapter 18 USC for witness tampering. Whoever uses physical force or threat of physical force against any person or attempts to do so with an intent to influence, delay, or prevent the testimony of any person in official proceeding. That's pretty cut and dry. But, you know, supposedly the White House said, oh, he's just, checking up on a family member. The question is, where was Joe Biden when Hunter was stooping his widowed sister-in-law with benefits? But anyways,
he stooped the niece also. It's on the laptop. He's got pictures and video of him naked with his 14-year-old niece on there. You know, where's that trial?
Well, equal justice for all. That's what they say on MSNBC. But anyways, of course, the media is not going to do anything or say anything about it because, again, it's Hunter Biden. Imagine if Trump's kids was involved like that, like Don Jr. was just fooling around with Eric Trump's wife. All hell would break loose. But anyways, the widow sister-in-law, the laptop, first it was fake, then it wasn't. Yeah, we knew all along. So it's the media doing its job. But guys, do you think Hunter will be convicted of filing lying on a federal application?
It should be if they got the hard copy.
Yeah, absolutely. Should be.
Right, but look.
But will he be?
Look where the.
You know.
Right, that's the question. Would he be? Because the trial is taking place in the federal district in Delaware, which is Biden's home state. You know, he says he grew up in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And other than a stupid highway sign, there's no recognition of Joe Biden at Scranton, Pennsylvania. But as usual, I guess, is this the closest we're going to get to a punishment of the Bidens for selling out the country?
No, I think it'll come. I think it'll come after the election.
Right. But it might come out after election, just like the laptop from hell. But here's the thing, like after 2020, the laptop from hell came out and nothing's been done. It's like, yeah, OK, it was his laptop. And that was it. You know, crickets. Same thing with the Anthony Weiner's laptop, Mike. There's some stuff on here and, crickets. And he's like, oh, there's nothing to see here. Say again.
Well, look who's in charge, though. You know, you have swamp creatures, Merrick Garland, and, you know, run DOJ, and you get all these swamp creatures everywhere. So until you get, say President Trump wins in November, he gets back in office, he puts Cash Patel, somebody like that, in the AG spot, somebody with actual, testicular fortitude, and then you'll see some actual prosecutions of these people, and probably quite a few shocking ones.
Well, the question is, would we? Because with Trump's first term in office with, what's his name, Barr in
Bill Barr.
Who's the first one before Barr? Jeff Sessions. Yeah, both of them are big. You know, so many people in the Trump administration just a big flop, which is really disheartening. But anyways, we'll see. Say again.
He spoke about that. He said he made bad choices because he got bad advice in the beginning, but he knows better now. He knows who is good and who isn't. He spoke about that recently. Right. Actually, the Bronx rally, he spoke about that.
Right. But what Trump should do, instead of getting swamp creatures from D.C., pick all those people from the five boroughs and from the private industry, from the trades, from the unions, from his people in his organization. But we'll see what happens. Anyways, moving right along, I'm the first one to say that Bidenomics is working as planned. What is this? Scoop, what the hell are you talking about? Well, earlier this week, I bought somebody a card, being Mr. Sensitive. I was feeling that this person could use a little pick-me-up, so I bought a card. So I went to CVS and bought a simple card. No stickers, no recordings, no thing pops out or pictures or none of that foolishness. Just plain simple paper card. Total price, $8 for a card. That's not including sales tax. And I was like, it's just a paper greeting card. It's nothing special. I mean, good grief. The Biden economic train is just working as planned, going right off that cliff. We're paying $8 for greeting cards. We're paying $3.50 for a gallon of gasoline. Biden's trying to release more oil from the strategic oil reserves, which is almost bone dry. Where do we go from here? I mean, here's a question. Why is the price of greeting cards almost the same price as uncut cocaine? Anybody?
Well, cocaine prices are down because there's so much of it flowing across our southern border right now.
Oh, that's why. But, I mean, if you go on the website, 7fredradio.org, I had a picture of the nice card. I paid $8 for it. It's a nice card, but it's not worth $8. So I said, you know what? From now on, I'm going to have to handwrite a card. So there's I drew a Valentine's Day card all by myself, and I had no one to give it to. But it just... I went shopping the other day just for myself for about a week and a half, just for me. Anybody that did not buy any meat, no alcohol, nothing, everything generic or off-brand, over $100 just for me. And then I spent $50 for 12 gallons of gasoline, about $3.50 a gallon. I mean, Jesus Christ. Who the hell is supporting Joe Biden when we can't afford gasoline and groceries? Or close.
Mental illness pandemic in this country, or epidemic, I should say. That's what's supporting Joe Biden.
I mean, we all know the elites from MSNBC, CNN, all the college elites who make six figures, who live very well, doing great. But anyway, you know, anybody, especially in the inner cities that try to pay rent, buy groceries, get gas, get shoes on the kids' feet, try to get to and from work. Why in the name of God are they still supporting Joe Biden? I mean, that's another. And we see this every single day on the Alphabet networks. The numbers of blacks and Hispanics for Trump going up, and the people blacks and Hispanics for Biden keep going down. But just I mean, wait. When does it end, guys?
I think now you're going to see the boomerang effect on this thing. I think now is kind of when it ends. This election is when it kind of ends. You're going to see people coming back across the way because they see now what really is the end goal of the people that are in there now, Biden regime and the rest of them. They're finally waking up to it, but it's pain points. How painful does it have to be for you to wake up and see it? You know, I think we finally hit the pain point where the majority of people woke up and went, oh, crap, we can't do this.
Right. Well, how's this affecting you down in Tennessee? Because I know it's put the squeeze on me and Mike.
It sucks. It flat out sucks. You know, I didn't drive for over 2 months. Yesterday was the first time I drove since the third week in March.
and, you know, and going down, you know, through town, you know, gas is a little bit lower on this end of the country, but then again, the income is a lot lower also. And, you know, you're looking at, you know, $3.33 was the highest and $2.99 was the lowest and everything in between. But, you know, it wasn't so long ago where, you know, it was, you know, in the 260s down here. So, you know, for it to jump up another 70 cents a gallon is just utterly ridiculous. And, of course, Kamala tries to giggle it off and explain it with her giggles. But
yeah, you can't move a crowd with giggles. Anyways, we'll be back after these messages. Stay tuned.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Attention collectors and savvy investors. We are excited to announce a momentous evolution in our journey. Introducing Freewater Coin Company, formerly known as Rust Coin and Gift. This rebranding takes us back to the very roots of where it all began, Freewater, Oregon. It's a tribute to the legacy of Al Rust and a celebration of three generations of dedication and excellence in the world of coins and precious gifts. Al, Brian, and Jake Rust, standing strong through 64 years of service. Discover a world of exceptional service at Freewater Coin Company, your premier destination for genuine, honest money and precious gifts. Under Brian's expert guidance, Freewater Coin Company, building on the legacy of Rust Coin and Gift, continues its tradition of trust and excellence. Visit us at our Provo, Utah location. Explore our treasures online at rustgoldandsilver.com or call us at 801-377-1574. Freewater Coin Company, where your future is built one honest coin at a time.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we are back. During those very important commercials, yours truly was looking at the Instagram of 7-5 Radio spokesmodel, one Danella Rodriguez. Follow her at danella.fitnessmodel and Instagram. Anyways, a couple weeks ago, The View was talking about WNBA star Caitlin Clark. One of these idiots said that Caitlin Clark is bringing so much notoriety and popularity to the charity known as the Women's National Basketball Association because Caitlin Clark is white and the majority of players of the WNBA are black and 30% of them are gay. And Americans don't want to watch black people play basketball. Guys, what say you about this genius on The View?
I think they all have PhDs and deemed buttheads. Idiots. I swear to God, stupidly.
Mike, what say you about The View stating that because Caitlin Clark is white, now America is only going to watch the WNBA because of a white lady because they don't like the fact black people play women's basketball.
I think it shows. Deb, long track.
Go ahead. No, please go ahead. Take it.
I think it shows the ignorance of these people. You have somebody who's bringing
attention to something that most people probably didn't even know existed. And they're finally getting some attention, finally getting some money flowing in, finally getting the kind of attention that they've all wanted. But because it happens to be a white player, all of a sudden now this is a bad thing. This is the worst possible thing ever. This is, you know, it's the attack on meritocracy. That's all it is. It's the same as everything else that they attack, because they just can't help themselves because they're so stupid, ignorant, and devoted to their own cult of personality that they can't get past their BS. It's they're a bunch of harpies. Anybody that watches them is really, really should be in serious therapy.
Right.
You know, because the WNBA, the WNBA, okay, when Brittany, I'm Really a Man, was arrested in Russia 1.5 years ago, and the WNBA tried to make a mark based on that, with all the support that they gave her and the kneeling and, you know, all that constant crap about, you know, free Brittany and all that nonsense. And it really didn't take off. It annoyed more people than supported it. And then when Brittany came out, you know, it was the WNBA was trying to capitalize on that again. And it didn't pan out because the American people were pissed off because she got let go and a real patriot didn't. Okay. Now, she started playing again, and then she retired, whatever she did. So now they're using this white girl as a controversy to try and get more stature on the NBA. Now, if this is what the girl wants to do to make a living, that's fine. But she didn't ask to be a poster girl for good or bad. Brittany is the one that wanted to be the poster girl for, or poster guy, for the WNBA, and neither one is working out. It's backfiring. Everything that the WNBA tries is backfiring. So when somebody in The View, you know, tries to say that this is a bad thing because she's white, but they were kissing Britney's ass last year because she was a tall black lesbian married to a lesbian in a Russian jail. For some reason, they think that's a hero. These people on The View, I mean, you know, you see all the time the phony memes where, you know, The View is getting canceled, Whoopi's getting canceled, they're all getting canceled, they're all moving to Canada, and you know, it the show just needs to be taken off the air. It is like what's that guy that used to be on late night, real obnoxious, smoke like a chimney,
Morton Downey.
Yeah.
Morton Downey, yeah. The View is like what Morton Downey crapped out after a taco breakfast.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
But here's something that you missed. This knucklehead on The View said that Americans don't want to watch black people play basketball. Well, look at the regular NBA. You had Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Wilt Chamberlain, Patrick Ewing, Shaquille O'Neal, Anthony Hardaway,
Dr. J.
All these legends that filled arenas for decades, and these knuckleheads just, I guess, forgot about the regular NBA because they're more worried about the WNBA, which is a charity for the National Basketball Association. I'm sure you got rookies on the G League that can beat the championship team for the WNBA. But anyways, that's you know, if you watch The View, you do get dumber. And you notice The View is on 11 o'clock on the East Coast when the majority of people are working. So, you know, people sitting home on welfare or workers' comp or got in a car accident, they're sitting home collecting a paycheck doing nothing, or that's why you have all these aimless chasing lawyers on TV during the daytime, because those people are home from, you know, being a productive member of society. Anyways, last night I did hang out with the very first spokesmodel in all of radio, Ms. Danelle Rodriguez. A couple of ladies I refer to as the work wives passed their training, completed their training, are great people. And, of course, they know Danella, and the rest of you all, wonderful people here on Sun Friday Radio. I said, hey, I tell you what, if you ladies pass your training, I'll see if Danilo will come down. I can't promise anything, but I'll just give her a call. So they passed everything, and I talked to Danilo. Yeah, I'll come down, and then we're supposed to do it Friday. So during the day, Danelle's saying, like, I'm not feeling too good. I'm tired. I'm working, because she does have a job. She runs DR's Wellness and Aesthetics. For you ladies in Washington, D.C. that look like me, go see her. She'll take care of you. So I said, okay, well, you know, all right, she's going to go home, you know, take care of herself. But I'm still going to hang out the work-wise. We'll have a couple of laughs, so on and so forth. So I'm headed out the door. I'm going riding the tail of the dinosaur to my automobile, and I get a text from her. It's like, she's here. She's at work. So I was like, oh, wow. So she showed up, and so we went out, had a really good time with the work wives. They got along great. I sat there, stayed quiet, and I found out that Danelle's dog, Snickers, has an Instagram account, and the dog has more followers than me. And it's a dog, so I got some work to do. So, really good time. Was it a Mexican joint? The ladies enjoyed their cocktails with specialized tequila. You know, very special Mexican-based cocktails. I had my Jack and Coke. So, real quick, towards the end of the night, we're walking back to our automobiles. Had a very nice and private conversation. And I told her, I said, you know what? I love doing 7-5 radio. And one of the reasons why I love doing 7-5 Radio is the family on 7-5 Radio. Walter, Mike, Heather, and of course Danella. And, you know, because of you people, I'm a better person. And we put out a hell of a product. So anyways, kudos for Ms. Rodriguez for sticking it out. She wanted to meet a couple of her fans and put up with me for whatever reason. But kudos for her for sticking it out and just toughing it out. But that's you know, that's what we are in a nutshell. We're dedicated. We'll follow through. You know, we'll tough it out. And Mike, I know you got a whole bunch of stories overseas and in the streets of New York. Walter, we all know your story. But we just tough it out. I toughed it out for 18 and a half years with you know who. But anyways, but really good time had by all. And also, I have this stupid thing at work I call White Shirt Friday. Everybody in my department wears a white shirt, and just to, you know, stick the finger at everybody else and just show the unity among the other coworkers I dislike. So I said, Danelle, if you come down, just wear white. And she did. And of course, she looked like a million bucks. And I texted her. I was like, hey, you ought to come down, because I look real goof. I misspelled the word good and put goof, but she already knows I look like a goof anyways. Guys, last couple seconds, anything you want to put out there?
So great for Walter to be back, and he kicked butt.
What's that?
I said, so great for Walter to be back, and he kicked butt.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's getting a little annoying. Seems like every couple of years, the past 10 years or so, I've had the Grim Reaper tapping on my shoulder. And I got to turn around and break his freaking neck. So,
perfect.
I just got to keep trucking forward, man. That's all.
Right. Because you got to stick around, because, I mean, we got a show to do. I mean, without you, there'd be no 7-5 Radio. It'd be just like scooping Mike. Anyways, for Walter Yerkew, Mike Reich Brandt, Heather McBride, Danelle Rodriguez, this is Peter Scoop. Stay and remind you, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. Do not comply.
Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.